Commission on Aging will come to order. Welcome, everyone. This is our annual meeting with the county councilors. Need a little louder here. Okay, front and center. Sorry, Mark, you don't get to talk. So we'll start out introducing ourselves. We'll go around this way. I'm Marjorie Liddell with the Commission on Aging.
Mark Bolt, County Council.
Okay, Linda O'Leary, Commission on Aging.
Eileen Quiring, County Council.
Donna Roberge, Commission on Aging.
John Blum, Clark County Council.
Allie Cayley, Commission on Aging.
Amy Gross, Commission on Aging.
Jeannie Stewart, Clark County Council.
Pat Janik, Commission on Aging.
Temple Lentz, Commission on Aging.
Julie Olson, Clark County Council.
Welcome again, everybody. So we need to approve the Commission on Aging agenda for this evening. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? We need to approve our minutes for November 14th, 2017. May I hear a motion to approve?
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those approve?
Aye.
All those who disagree? The minutes are approved. So now it's time for me to move to the big lectern and do the PowerPoint. So you get the mic, Mark.
Hey, thanks.
Oh, no, don't let him have the mic.
This is our fifth annual report to the County Council from the Commission on Aging. In 2012, the then County Commissioners created the Commission on Aging following an 18-month study in which more than two dozen people from across Clark County evaluated the community's readiness for and ability to serve a quickly growing number of older residents. This diagram illustrates the work in which we are engaged. Education, awareness, and advocacy are the means by which we carry out our charge to provide leadership in managing and implementing the Aging Readiness Plan. These are our four focus areas. Most of this report emphasis will be about supportive services because it was our primary work in 2017. We will focus on transportation in 2018 and healthy communities in the future because it is important for everyone to have access to parks, public trails, and transportation. Some of our transportation topic areas for this year are listed here. We will gather information that will include a variety of transportation options for people of all ages, abilities, and incomes. We know transportation options raise or limit the ability of people, especially those 60 and over, to connect with others and maintain independence. As you know, last year's focus was housing, and we have an update on that. Our housing recommendations were aimed at encouraging the construction and remodeling of homes and neighborhoods to be places everyone could visit regardless of ability. In a word, visitable, meaning barrier-free housing accessible to all residents and visitors. We believe visitable has become a benchmark term to measure how well the housing market is meeting the needs of those 60 and over who wish to age in place. Clark County and some citizens within the county have taken these recommendations seriously and are working on policy and administrative changes that will help reshape the housing market to better serve the needs of people who want to age in place, which is about 90% of people. Our housing summit in February was a success, and during the year, we were pleased to note four examples of progress. The 2017 Northwest Natural Parade of Homes included a home with some universal design elements. The remodeled homes tour featured this house, a just completed remodel that provides independent space for an aging family member. Note the ramp up to an extra wide door. Some members of COA were pleased to help showcase this home and provide information about visitable housing features. Evergreen Habitat for Humanity continues to collaborate with COA on housing plans that will incorporate some visitable and universal design elements in their houses. And Clark County, City of Ridgefield, and City of Camas are in the process of implementing recommendations from COA appropriate to their respective jurisdictions. We thank Clark County councilors for participating in community-wide efforts to provide a greater variety of housing choices, including increasing housing types for smaller households and promoting housing affordability. And we are grateful you are seeking community feedback on proposed development codes for accessory dwelling units and cottage housing. We're also pleased the City of Camas has adopted a policy in its comprehensive plan that could increase the number of single-story barrier-free homes and increase the number of accessory dwelling units. We're also pleased that the City of Ridgefield has developed an incentive program to increase the number of visitable homes. These are examples of our efforts in education, raising awareness, and advocacy this past year. Commission members presented the 2016 Commission on Aging Annual Report and its housing recommendations to city councils in Clark County. We continued our efforts to encourage the Clark County Association of Realtors to revise and increase designations for accessibility features in its multiple listing service. We helped Evergreen Habitat for Humanity develop housing plans that include designs for potential residents regardless of age or ability. We co-presented with the Area Agency on Aging and Disabilities of Southwest Washington a discussion with Fort Vancouver Library District on services and resources available to people in the county, especially those 60 and over, and regardless of income. And we successfully advocated for County Council to proclaim May as Older Americans Month and November as National Caregivers Month. Now more on supportive services. We delved into supportive services because 90% of people want to age in place, and we need services to meet current and future demand. We know the pace of people turning 65 every day nationally continues to be about 10,000. We know in Clark County, one in five people is 65 or older, and by 2030, that is expected to be one in four. The need for adequate supportive services is dramatic. Our annual report details some of what we learned from our supportive services series. Eight community experts provided extensive information on issues from older people are facing, services available to assist with aging in place, additional informational resources, and what services may need to be added. From the public, we heard firsthand experiences of victims of elder abuse, including phone scams designed to breach personal security, people pretending to love you while milking your bank account, and being taken advantage of by people posing as contractors. We heard stories of isolation and loneliness, which some people believe are just characteristics of people being older, and they are resigned to feeling that way. Many expressed relief in learning from one of our experts that anxiety and depression are not related to age, and better still, they learned some ways to cope. Washington ranks as one of the best states in which to age. Nationally, non-paid caregivers save taxpayers millions of dollars. However, less 1% of caregivers in Washington tap into caregiver resources. That is because they don't think of themselves as caregivers, or they mistakenly believe the services are an income-eligible program. Clark County has the third highest number of unpaid family caregivers in the state. Support for caregivers is crucial. Mental health disorders such as depression and anxiety are believed to be part of the aging process. They are not part of normal aging. Moreover, this misconception contributes to low rates of diagnosis and treatment. Isolation can lead to depression, and the more a person is depressed, the less motivation they have to engage in social activities. Social engagement is essential. Older adults in the United States have the highest rate of suicide of any group. Older adults comprise 13% of the population, but 19% of all suicides. More alarming is how many die by suicide after reaching out for help. 20% had seen a physician that day, 40% had seen a physician that week, and 70% had seen a physician that month. Many organizations and agencies in Clark County provide services for our older residents. Unfortunately, many seniors and family members are unaware of the resources. Seniors must be better connected to those services. We have 6 recommendations. 1, increase efforts to raise awareness of services available for people 60 and older. For example, our partnership with the Area Agency on Aging and Disabilities of Southwest Washington, the March 29th Supportive Services Summit, and ongoing efforts thereafter. Another important partnership is with the National Alliance on Mental Illness. It lets more people know of services available for mental health issues, especially depression and suicide. In the 2012 Aging Readiness Plan, Clark County noted the importance of these partnerships and also partnerships such as Clark County Public Health through its advisory council. We need to celebrate and build upon our progress with these partnerships. 2, additional memory care homes. We need more facilities to accommodate the anticipated increase in dementia patients. 3, smaller assisted living communities. Residents of smaller communities have increased reports of mobility and social interaction and fewer reports of weight loss and depression compared with residents of larger traditional nursing homes. 4, socialization programs that support isolated seniors, such as intergenerational program in care facilities, or the Elder Friends model that pairs up seniors with volunteer to visit seniors in their own home. 5, we suggest Clark County Sheriff's Office assign a deputy to the Elder Justice Center team. Our highest attended meeting was the one where elder justice abuse was the topic. Since the Clark County Elder Justice Center opened in 2011, it has provided our community with a place to report abuse, neglect, and exploitation of vulnerable adults. We would like to see its services enhanced. 6, this recommendation is for us. As the Commission on Aging delves into transportation, we have to be mindful of roadblocks to socialization because of mobility constraints and consider possible alternatives that could improve older driver safety and other transportation options. We know a key part of our responsibility is researching issues, developing recommendations, and continuing to monitor and implementation of programs. We look forward to the summit and your participation in it. On March 29th, Clark County Commission on Aging and the Area Agency on Aging and Disabilities of Southwest Washington will co-host, along with Clark College, a summit on supportive services for successful aging in place. The goal is to bring together community leaders to discuss how to better serve a community of care to help citizens age well. We are fortunate to have Dr. Vicki Schmall as our keynote speaker. Dr. Schmall is Executive Director and Gerontology and Training Specialist with Aging Concerns in West Lynn, Oregon. She specializes in topics such as family decision making, communication and caregiving, aging and related changes, and mental health issues. Also, we will have a panel of local speakers that will discuss the challenges to aging well and what our communities need to do to help. B. Rector with the Washington Aging and Long-Term Care Administration, Les and Julie Berger, who have firsthand experience with Alzheimer's, and Howard Klink, Project Director of Housing with Services. Thank you for being here today. I want to do some thank yous. Thank you to the County Council for providing a forum for us to identify important issues, research them, and bring them to you. Thank you to each of our presenters this last year for for sharing your time and knowledge. Thank you to the entire COA team. Each member has demonstrated an active interest in supportive services and contributed to our annual report. Special thanks to Pat Janik, Allie Cayley, and Amy Gross for taking the lead on our collaboration with ADSWA and Clark College in planning for the upcoming summit. And thanks to Marian Anderson and Chuck Freyer for extra efforts in promoting our housing recommendations. Thank you to Clark County staff members who support our work with their expertise, diligence, competence, and good humor. We realize the staff has many responsibilities in addition to serving COA and appreciate the time dedicated to us. Jackie Camp's steadfast support stretches back to the Aging Readiness Task Force preceding the COA. She brings valuable skills, knowledge, perspective, and passion to our purpose and goals. Sharon Lumban-Tobing joined us mid-year and quickly grew into a productive member of our team. Particularly adept at documenting the breadth and depth of often very complex topics presented by our speakers. Her interest and competence is evident at every turn. When we welcomed Sharon to our team, we bade farewell to Colette Anderson, who took on added responsibilities in other areas and beyond the scope of COA. We're sure she brings the same level of expertise and competence to her new role. Now we look forward to hearing from you, both feedback on our work and our recommendations that we have given you this evening. Thank you. Thank you.
Good job.
Where do we go from here?
Well, we'd like praise first.
Good news and then the bad news.
Okay, that was easy. Yeah. So specific, you know, we made the six recommendations. So we'd like your feedback on those. And also, just in general, our work, how we go about our work, is the information we present you useful and thorough?
I have a...
Can you put the recommendations up?
I have a... Probably a question, or I thought that was interesting what you talked about, suicide. John and I, we sat on the early adopter, and one of the objectives about early adopter, how to get primary care linked up with mental health, is that theoretically the doctor is going to have time to actually talk to you rather than, you know, row you through, you know, like it happens. couple of things, maybe that isn't happening, and what's the deal there? How we can work on that with our group and with Southwest and Legacy, and tying that also is I heard a report on the last report on homelessness it had some Portland numbers, but there was also some Vancouver numbers, and I've done a homeless couple nights with homeless people, and it said that the number of seniors in the total population of homeless went from 10% of the total population to about 20 to 25. And just looking at seeing the people around here and to do some nights, it seems like all I saw was people over 60. So I guess I'm trying to put the two together that we're not winning the conversation. But I think it's a conversation that we have to have. I know I was listening to that same report, and he said the number one thing that we can do for being really cost effective is when a aged or elderly person or couple gets near being evicted, if you can just help them on the rent, then that will keep that person in that apartment. And once that, because once that person is out of the apartment, it's almost hard to get them back into when they're aged. So I'm just kind of throwing that out. And I don't know where, I know, you know, we have a lot of supportive services, but I don't know where the conversation should go even.
Were you going to answer that? Did you have an answer, or was that just?
I have a response, but go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead and respond, and then I'll ask, because I'm going a different direction.
Oh, okay.
I have other questions.
And actually, we're in preliminary conversation with the Public Health Advisory Council.
Okay.
And what we would like to do, well, one of the things we'd like to do is a campaign, public campaign. It sounds like we're advocating for it, but somehow create a task force of people who can bring some attention to the suicide problem, because the Public Health Advisory Committee has a lot of people on it, but also suicide in youth is also a problem. And I think there's some connection there that we can make and create some kind of energy to create a campaign that tries to reduce this suicide problem. So we're talking to them about it. So that's a first step.
So this is a bit of a segue to the suicide. I had a question about, during your report, you said that you indicated, maybe this isn't how you said it, this is how I interpreted it, that really this problem of depression, et cetera, is not basically physiological in an elderly person. But then further in your report, it actually sounded like, I mean, the statistics about suicide and isolation and depression, et cetera, seemed to indicate to me a little bit opposite. Are there some physiological components of it as well? Would seem that there would be.
I think from our speakers, we can say the answer is yes. And one of our speakers also told us that for people 65 and older, there's 10% chance of dementia. 75 and over, it's 35%. 85 and over, it's 50%. So there are changes in the brain, definitely. Where there, again, with the intersection with youth, that isolation, that anxiety, that depression is not necessarily age-related. I guess is one way to put it.
Yeah, okay.
And do you have a way to solve that problem?
Do I have a way?
Yeah, no.
I'm thinking that depressed young people and depressed adults are too depressed to get together. So
we'll
that may
we'll
be difficult.
That,
but I do think that youth and age being together is a very good thing.
That's what
good interaction. I did have another question, though, that also has to do with caregiver, family caregiver resource. Can you tell me what those resources are? You said not many take advantage of it. And do you know kind of what is available, i.e., how much do they get? Do you know that?
I can't tell you specifically, but I do know both our speakers from the Area Agency on Aging and Disabilities, that one reason we had them speak to us is they do have various types of resources for caregivers,
yes,
including respite.
Respite care.
Yeah, and so on. So we have people in the audience that can give you the exact answers.
If the rest of the members wouldn't mind hearing it, it'd be great.
Should we do that? Okay, Christina, you're on.
Thanks. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about my favorite program. Really, we recognize the great value that our unpaid family caregivers do in supporting long-term care services, not only nationally, but especially here in Clark County. So our program is a little unique in that we actually assess the caregiver to understand what their needs are, and then based upon that, we build services around them. And those services might look like counseling support, respite services, supplemental services. So that's going to be things like supplies and equipment. We do a ton of education. You heard that Vicki Schmall will be the keynote. So she's a wonderful example of the type of education that we do. And then we're very fortunate in the state of Washington to be doing a transformation project where we are expanding the access to services. And so you might hear Medicaid Transformation Demonstration or Initiative 2, Medicaid Alternative Care, Tailored Supports of Older Adults. All of those things are speaking to the expanded availability of services to family caregivers.
And how do people in the community actually find out and access these services or things that are available? How are you educating the public?
Sure. We do that via community events. We do it through great partnerships like the Commission on Aging, our partnerships with healthcare, for example, Peace Health, Legacy, Kaiser, clinics. We also do it with other social services networks. We have an aging and disability resource network where we have about 50 different organizations that come together. But the reality is there's still great work to be done until it's very top of mind in our families when they say, I have a family member who needs support. Maybe I need to call the Area Agency on Aging. When that becomes top of mind, then our work is done. So there's been great work, great collaboration, great outreach, but definitely room for additional work.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I have one more comment.
Sure.
Go ahead. Just one more. I serve on the Elder Justice Committee, and I see some of the recommendations. I think the prosecuting attorney's office now has assigned a different individual, and I think more attention is being given there. I would agree that hopefully the county sheriffs can dedicate a deputy to that. The city of Vancouver does have somebody working on that. But the exploitation financially seems to be the biggest problem. But I will say, I think some of our laws need to be changed because I think there are other things taking place that somehow don't rise to the ability for any law enforcement to step in. So if, that might be something for your commission to take up, find out what the laws are, how could they be enhanced? And I'm not saying going around, finding people to, incarcerate or punish or something. I just do think that some of the abuse that takes place doesn't even meet the threshold, and I think it ought to.
Okay. I take that as support for recommendation number 5.
Yes.
Not quite. Julie?
Oh, that's okay. I sat on the Elder Justice Board the year before Councilor Quiring did, and I know we talked a little bit about RCWs and raising the bar on some of these abuse issues. The hardest part, this is just a comment, is it's difficult to prosecute these cases because you have family members involved. It's difficult to prosecute these cases because you have family members involved, you have a lot of gray areas, you have the elder person may or may not want to press charges against their nephew or their niece or their daughter or their son. So I would, I think generally supporting more difficult or higher level of law enforcement and felony and RCWs is one thing, but making sure that we can actually, get a case, I think that's the challenging part. But with regard to the recommendations, I think about some of the recommendations that you brought to us last year where we were actually able to take them and do something concrete with them. And Councilor Blum was a big part of some of the cottage housing code language that we're looking at right now and the ADU discussions that we're having. So that's something that was really tangible that we could do. And so I'm without regard to number 5, where we're talking about a sheriff on the team, help us or help me get something tangible out of these other recommendations where we're being asked to work with other jurisdictions or other partners are we talking about maybe some code language, for instance, in item number 2 to encourage development of additional memory care facilities? Are we talking about ways that the council through policy can help encourage these types of facilities? So you know, help me a little bit with what mm-hmm. specifically can we do to kind of get to where you want to go.
I think when proposals come to you, it's good to know that smaller facilities are really more helpful than larger. When I think, you know, that's just an awareness thing as you ask the developers or whoever's, you know, bringing that proposal to you. I think anytime you are a sitting council and you have an awareness for these issues, there are places where you will find that you have a foothold of conversation to have an influence on that, especially on code. Yeah. And I guess from the time I joined the Commission on Aging, Mark has always been talking about partnerships, and the more the better. So I know one of the people wants to speak to the elder justice issue. Do you want to speak now?
Thank you for the council.
Can you get closer to the
And tell us your name?
I will. And thank you again for allowing me to speak. I'm Judge Diane Woolard. I was a judge on the Superior Court for 13 years, and I'm now retired, which means I can speak out for a number of kinds of issues, and one of those would be number 5, to assign additional deputy by the Clark County Sheriff's Office to the Elder Justice Center. I am also on the board of the Friends of the Elder Justice Center, so I'm working with that kind of issues also. With a number of other people, I go around the state doing training on recognizing vulnerable adult abuse and neglect, and speaking to those kinds of issues. Just to respond a little bit to Councilwoman Quering's thought about there being different laws and additional laws, I certainly understand that, but the approach might have to be just a little bit different in how we approach adult abuse, elder abuse and neglect. And there was a law that was changed, put in May 11th, 2017, that the governor signed, that allows for the standard of proof for criminal mistreatment of cases would change from recklessness to criminal negligence. And the King County prosecutor indicated this is a major change that would allow us to hold more people accountable who cause vulnerable people serious injury or death. So there's that change in the mens rea of the law. Additionally, I want to point out to you folks that we're not just talking about elders, we're talking about vulnerable adults, and the Elder Justice Council deals with those also. And a vulnerable adult is a person 60 years of age or older who has a functional mental or physical inability to care for himself or herself, or any adult who's found incapacitated under Chapter 1188 who has a developmental disability, admitted to any facility or receiving services from home health, hospice, or home care agencies. So keeping in mind that when we're talking about resources for aged elderly people, we need to be thinking, keeping in mind that includes vulnerable adults. In my experience on the bench and as a part of doing some lecturing and teaching, many of the same kind of services and many of the same kind of things that we need to keep in mind on identifying elderly and vulnerable adults with regard to abuse, neglect, exploitation, and those kinds of issues. I noted I was part of had a webinar with the federal government, the National Center on Elder Abuse, as well as the Department of Justice. Their specifics were, as of June last year, 1 in 10 seniors are abused every year. Keeping that in mind, 1 in 10, that's a lot. And if you include some vulnerable adults along with those figures, you get an increased population proportion of people who need services, who need to be protected And we're talking in terms of the additional sheriff's deputy, additional protection, additional investigation to find out what level of abuse or neglect may arise and may need a crime. But certainly with the additional investigation, you can protect elders and vulnerable adults, not necessarily charge the abuser or alleged caretaker with a crime, but at least protect. And one in 23 seniors abused reported cases reported to Adult Protective Services, and one in 44 cases of financial abuse were reported. One in 44. That's kind of scary. And they also looked at 57.9% of the financial abuse were committed by family members, and you had made that observation also, that those were very hard to investigate. And 14.9% were caregivers, 16.9% were neighbors. And I was greatly upset to note that this morning on the first appearance docket, there was a caretaker who was alleged to have caused the death of the person that she was caretaking for. And when I hear that kind of information, having been on the bench for so long, I think, what did we miss? Mm-hmm. Did somebody miss a signs of neglect or abuse or financial exploitation? Can we do more towards educating our community, which is one of the things that I'm greatly in favor of? And so I think that's about all I have to say in terms of being very supportive. And our friends of the Elder Justice Center are all supportive of having number five, an additional deputy assigned to the Elder Justice Center. Now, there were two law enforcement people assigned for a number of years, and when one of the law enforcement people retired, they didn't reappoint anybody to that position. And so if there's anything that we can do to support the Elder Justice Center do their job, and any of us are able, and I work with them also in providing training to the community and recognizing it, and let's look at resources in terms of what we can do to keep our community safe. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeannie?
So thank you. I want to thank the Commission on Aging for the work you do and the identifying the reality of circumstances in this PowerPoint in the big picture. Aging in place and finding ways to allow housing, other accommodations, because that is what people really desire. And we've known that, but I heard statistics today that tell me what percent of the population wants to be able to age in place. And that's what I would wish for myself, and, you know, not be shuffled about, but have a secure place to go. The codes that the county recently worked on to find ways to accommodate seniors, many on fixed incomes, to have clean but maybe smaller housing units or apartments that can accommodate their needs. The how harmful isolation is. Isolation isn't good for babies or children or seniors. It's harmful. It's harmful mentally, and that ends up being part of a physical decline as well. And that's just the reality. There, as I've gone through this, I just... advocating for smaller assisted living facilities. I frequently go to some areas where there are massive buildings with massive numbers of units, and it's everyone does the best they can, and needs of seniors or the elderly do create some construction complications, some additional costs. So in order to be able to provide it, in many cases it's like mass care. Those are less homey. There's more formality. It's not as easy an environment. It's the same as the difference between being in a duplex or a fourplex to being in a massive apartment complex. And imagine then being a more elderly person in that environment. So I'm actually a little bit taken back how much you cracked the nutshell on this. And the things that we know that are critically important are identified, and things that the county is actively working to help
yes.
you and our county and our aging population be safer, happier, more comfortable, and affordable. So it's wonderful, and as sad as it is to hear that a death can occur through whatever means that occurred, through neglect or ignorance or whatever it is, that's something we really need to work on. It's the same as if a child would be lost due to improper or negligent care or whatever the reason. And we can't stand for that in our society. We have to identify where the weaknesses are. We need to work on that and do whatever we can for that. So thank you for bringing us together today and giving us another opportunity to talk about this.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Probably going with you said, Councillor. I've gone to, I don't know, several people in assisted living homes. And I mean, it's just, if you go in there, I don't know how many we have in the county, but there's quite a few. And they're pretty big. But one thing that strikes me is that when you go in there, most of the doors are closed, you know. You go down the hallways and either they don't trust me, so they close their doors or, you know, whatever. But anyway, it seems to me, you know, because I've had lunch with them and things, that I don't know if a majority of it, but I would say a lot of people never see a person all day long. And I don't know, it's always struck me that we have a huge amount of the aging population in these citizens, in these areas, and they're getting more and more and more. And probably as people get more isolated, it's like you said, where the caregivers kind of have that option of doing things, and there's more option for abuse and financial abuse because the people are locked in their rooms, and if they don't talk to one another, they're kind of closed in there, you know. Yeah. And so nothing happens until they get into a courtroom or something else. So I don't know if there's an opportunity where we crack that. You know, it seems like other countries have that because they're more of inner-aged, you know, population. But it just seems to me that we're going the wrong way. And I don't know how to fix that. But it seems like if we don't at least attempt to do something there, we're going to have, you know, everybody's going to end up in a assisted facility. And so that's kind of an open-ended question. But maybe you could fix that in a week or two, and it'd be nice, huh?
It's an accurate observation, though.
I think when you pointed out the economy of scale for profit is large, that's the collision with reality right there. I guess you could just close the door and everybody that wants to do a big one until they do a small one, but that probably wouldn't work either. But and maybe part of it's education. I don't know.
John said for me to go ahead. I asked him if he wanted to say something. I feel extremely passionate about our recommendation number 5. When we had the presentation from the sheriff's office and he had one person for Vancouver. I said, wait a minute, there's other cities that need help. And so, number one, we are pleading to you as the county council to go when you do your budget negotiation to at least assign another deputy to the Elder Justice Center. And then I personally will be going to Camas and asking them to do that for our city. And I'm hoping other cities and other communities will do the same thing. It's a huge issue. It's a huge problem. And again, we know the tsunami is coming in 2030 when at least 20% of our citizens in this county are going to be 65 years in age and older. And these kind of problems are just going to keep exacerbating. So the county can take some leadership here, and I hope you will.
What conversations have you had with the sheriff? Have you made the request of the sheriff?
No, we haven't gotten that far.
Okay. I would recommend that you do that. He's an independently elected. He's got, I don't want to say an open checkbook, but basically he's got an open checkbook for ordering or for hiring deputies. We did that in our last budget. So he's got an overhire program where he can overhire three deputies more than what he's budgeted for, and then we'll work through that. So I would encourage you, certainly with our support, to talk directly to the sheriff and make that request.
Okay, it's our next stop tomorrow morning.
Just a few comments on last year's recommendations. They don't let us off the hook on housing yet. We've made some progress, but I think we have more to do in terms of looking at how we can have renovation of existing housing stock. And there's some things that the Area Agency on Aging and Disability, I think, is going to be able to expand in the Clark County, a pilot program. I'm getting a nod back there from Dave, so I'm not totally lost here. That can help with that, but I think also looking at multifamily, there's more we can do, so don't let us off the hook on that one. Looking at this year's recommendations, I would agree number five should be a high priority. Also number six, I hope that, and I'm happy to help facilitate this if it hasn't happened yet, but getting in talking with CTRAN as to what the role that CTRAN can play in looking at transportation options, so we can chat about that more later. Mark and I both sit on that board, so I think that's a key component to that. And thank you again. This is always, you know, it's two meetings last year that I really stood out to me in terms of being productive and feeling I've got to hear. And it's this one and the Youth Commission. So once again, we're back to kind of the two spectrums on the age scale. So it's always something I look forward to.
Yeah.
And even though we want you to do more work on housing, don't diminish the fact we are grateful that when we came here last year with our visitability recommendations, you had open ears and, more importantly, open hearts. And we know it takes time to do policy, especially if you're going to do it right. So we appreciate the progress, although we expect more. I mean, we're really pleased that you took it to heart. So thank you for that.
Really going on what you said, John, one of the things that we, when we talked originally about forming this group, is having you would ask us to do codes, but then you would kind of look at them codes as they progress. One of the things is, John, and as we all worked on the ADAs, is really when we get to the specifics of what we do with cottage homes and ADAs, is kind of, we used to, in this county, I wish we would get back, we had a disabilities commission that told the county exactly where the spots were in the county where it was hard to get around with disabilities. And one of probably the most eye-opening days of my life is when I first was elected and I spent 6 hours in a wheelchair. I was wore out just because, a two-inch curb is nothing when you can walk, but, gee, a two-inch curb in a wheelchair is a real pain, you know. So I bring it up because some of these new subdivisions that are coming out with these new stormwater things, my daughter lives in one. I mean, I can't even figure out how to get into an ADA thing and I can walk, it just seems to me that it's a real help if I'm have a hard time walking and I'm trying to figure out how to get into a sidewalk with three different kinds of curbs sticking up. And if I miss one curb, you know, I'm breaking a hip or something. One of the things I would ask is that if you see them things, is that you bring that to us because you have that awareness and you see that because you know people that live that and as keep track of them codes as it goes on also.
Hang on, because we'll have some great recommendations next year in the transportation area.
Go ahead.
Do I have to press this down? Or is this on? Okay, yeah. Good. A couple of things. This county is very lucky, as many counties or most counties perhaps in the nation, is that we have a wonderful ombudsman program where trained volunteers go into care homes, both in skilled nursing facilities as well as adult family homes. I have the honor of going into 16 different care homes every month in our community. And I had as my job, I went into a large nursing facility in town for a couple years, and then I decided that I wanted it easier. So I took 16. And the one thing I can say is it all comes down to connecting with people, and the isolation is far less when a home only has up to six people. They're forced to interact with them. And I don't mean that. Yeah. And by and large, we are so lucky that the homes, at least that I go to, with the exception of maybe one or two, are exemplary. Unfortunately, the training and the ongoing training for those people that provide that may need to be a bit more robust and keep up with issues such as suicide prevention and other kinds of things that come along the way. And I'm not sure who's in charge of training those people, but that would be something I would consider. And as we talked about the elder justice system, my mother, by the time I could discover when she was aging, she was already $30,000 in debt, having purchased everything that, I mean, she purchased seven auto insurance policies and she never drove. She purchased magazines. And the person that alerted me to all of this was the bank. A little local bank said, I have had this in my mind and we just had a training on this. This goes back to, if you see something, say something, and we have to engage our community partners, our grocery store, where do our seniors go, and a little bit of training goes a long way for our community partners to help us care for our own.
And I would just say quickly, at number four, when you're talking, this recommendation about creating programs for that support elderly people, key to this is going to be what you're studying next year, which is transportation, because I think there probably are some programs. They just need to get to them and know about them. And I learned about something at a neighborhood meeting that about volunteer transportation. So I hope that you will take that into it. There's a wonderful organization that does some volunteer transportation for people like in North County, where CTRAN does not go. So I look forward to seeing what you do this year with the transportation.
Okay, are there public comments? Dave?
It's not often you can come up and say thank you to two different groups of people, but I thought I'd do that. Thank you to the Commission on Aging members. You guys have produced a terrific document here that's very impressive and very forward-thinking and very valuable to the community. So thank you very much for your professionalism, Thank you for your time and all you've done. And then I want to thank the county councilors for your support of this. Your very presence here is a really tributary point, and it's really wonderful that you're here, and thank you. Specific to Commissioner or Councillor Bolt, he was there at the beginning of this many years ago, as I was, and I think this year has been an exemplary year. The second thing I wanted to say is that I think the agencies such as ours, Area Agency on Aging and Disabilities of Southwest Washington, are better because of you. And I think the challenges that you lay down and the examination of the issues that you articulate, I don't want to say the word forces, but just challenges us as an agency to be better, to try our best to help with that in a remarkable way. So just thank you for your work. Keep it up. It's just fabulous. High compliments to you for what you're doing and how you're doing it. So thank you very much.
Thank you. See you on March 29th. Are there comments from the public? If not, we stand adjourned. Oh. Don't hesitate, Judge, or we'll be gone.
Well, usually I run the programs in my courtroom, so I had to try and go ease that and let somebody else. I wanted to comment on the fact of the new sheriff's deputy. The sheriff has attended the monthly meetings of the Elder Justice Center when they have their meetings for their staff. And if there is anybody that I can partner with for asking the sheriff again for a deputy, then please, let's try and do that.
I think Councillor Quiring stepped up to the bar, so to speak. All right, we are adjourned. Thank you so much.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I love this.